Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is our 835th day together in the Word of God. It's good to be with you for this day as we jump back into Job, and we're in Job 35. And just a little insight into the way my little mind works. I love this, that we're on day 835 with Job 35. And tomorrow we'll be on 836 with Job 36. I like that. 35, 36. I don't know. It doesn't take much to make me smile. All right, Job 35. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beauty of this day and for the beauty of your word, for your faithfulness to us that is unfailing, for your power that upholds us, for your grace that saves us, for your Son who justifies, sanctifies, and completely redeems us. We thank you. Please teach us your word. Please write it on our hearts. Please lead us to glorify you with our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Job 35. And Elihu answered and said, "Do you think this to be just? Do you say, is my right before God, that you ask, what advantage have I? How am I better off than if I had sinned? I will answer you and your friends with you. Look at the heavens and see, and behold the clouds, which are higher than you. If you have sinned, what do you accomplish against him? And if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness concerns a man like yourself, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, people cry out. They call for help because of the arm of the mighty. But none says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God does not hear an empty cry, nor does the Almighty regard it. How much less when you say that you do not see him, that the case is before him, and you are waiting for him. And now, just because his anger does not punish, and he does not take much note of transgression, Job opens his mouth in empty talk. He multiplies words without knowledge." Well, there is someone here who is speaking without knowledge, but it's not Job. So Elihu is not completely without theological knowledge. He's just without situational knowledge. So you see, you need to know theology. You need to know right theology. And Elihu certainly knows a lot of that. So much of what he says here is good and true. We're going to look at what's good and true about what Elihu says, because we need to grow in our theological understanding, just as Elihu had some good theological understanding. But you also need to have situational awareness and situational understanding. And for Elihu, he's completely lacking that, because he doesn't really know what is going on in this situation. He doesn't understand why God is doing what he's doing. He doesn't understand whether Job is innocent or not, whether Job is covering up, or whether he's truly righteous. Doesn't know. You also need to have humility within yourself to understand your own limitations and your own heart. So you need to have this personal knowledge. So you need theological knowledge, you need situational knowledge, and you also need personal knowledge, where your own heart is coloring, prejudicing, biasing your perception of things. And Elihu is lacking in that as well. You need to have all three of those perspectives in order to really understand what you're seeing and how it fits together. And the fact is, what does Jeremiah say about the human heart? The heart is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's Jeremiah 17:9. Do we know our own hearts? Do we have that personal knowledge, that personal awareness? No, we don't. We lack it. So with humility, we need to confess, not only do I not know all the ins and outs of this situation, but I don't even understand how it is that my own biases, my own prejudices, my own ignorance of myself is coloring my perception of this situation. And then we have to say, if we don't know our own hearts, do we know the heart of another person? Do we understand their motivations? Do we know why they're doing what they're doing? No. We should listen to them. We should care to hear them out. We should give them the benefit of the doubt. We should think about them the way we would want to be thought of if we were in their situation. So just having theological knowledge, even if it's accurate, does not give us enough. It doesn't give us the perspective on the situation or on ourselves that we need in order to truly walk in wisdom. And that is something that calls for humility and faith and calls for treating others with gentleness and respect. So let's hear Elihu, full of rich theology, but lacking the other two. He says, "Do you think this is just? Do you say it is my right before God that you ask, what advantage have I? How am I better off than if I had sinned?" Job never actually acts that way. He's simply saying that he doesn't know why God is shooting his arrows at him, is cursing him, is harming him, hates him, because he hasn't done anything wrong. He doesn't really say, "I'm no better off than if I had sinned." He never says those words like that. But again, that's one of the assumptions that Elihu makes, is that by Job questioning, doubting, and speaking out of the bitterness of his soul, which he certainly does speak out of the bitterness of his soul, he's acting as if he's no better off than if he had sinned, or that he would have been better off if he had just gone ahead and sinned. He does say he'd be better off if he was never born, but he never doesn't actually say that he'd be better off if he actually sinned. And then he gets into this is right theology, and that is, so many people have this transactional understanding of a relationship with God. And Elihu's words here help us correct that. Here's what I mean by that, a transactional understanding. People think that if they do good, if they are righteous, if they obey, that somehow God owes them. That puts God in their debt. Just as if they sin, somehow that puts God in an obligation to punish them. So Elihu here is rightly saying God is well beyond. And if you sin, you're not hurting God. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting other people. If your transgressions are multiplied, you are offending God, but you're not harming God. And so, on the other hand, if you're doing righteous things, are you giving anything to God? No. You're not giving anything to God that makes God better off. God is the creator and the sustainer of everything. And really, everything good that you've ever done has been something that God has given you, not something that you have given him. And so you need to be concerned about how your wickedness and your righteousness affects you as a person, affects other people around you, right? Because God is not, you can't say, well, if I give 10% of my money to the church, then God has to make me financially independent, wealthy, and set up well for retirement because I've given all this money to God. Okay. No, I mean, God commands it and you should do it. And yes, you are giving it to God and to his work. It doesn't put God in an obligation to where he owes you something. And you're not really giving it to God as if God were up in heaven saying, "Man, how am I going to pay for this pizza? Who's going to give me some kind of money?" Like that's just a ridiculously humanistic, reductionistic way of looking at God. And so God is great and God is far above all of these kinds of things. And so we need to have humility. We need to have humility. The multitude of oppressions cause people to cry out. They call for help to God because of the arm of the mighty. But they don't give thanks to God. They don't say, "Where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, who makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?" This is so common among people, right? Something goes wrong, a disaster, a war, oppression, and they cry out to God. And so often they say, "Why, O Lord? why would you do this? Where are you? What are you doing? Right? And so where Elihu's making a mistake is he's thinking that this is like what Job is doing. That Job's doing what all other people do, which is basically ignore God, don't give thanks to him, don't humbly praise him for the wisdom and for the favor and for the joy that he gives, but only cry out to God in times of trouble to basically say, what are you doing to me? That kind of a thing, which is, I've said this before, but it's a powerful observation to make. Within our public discourse in America, within the public square of what you would see on television news shows or in major print magazines or from major media outlets, the only time people typically talk about God, not Mother Nature, right, but God, is if there's a question being asked of where was God when these hurricanes hit? Where was God when these tornadoes hit? Where was God when this horrible evil thing happened, right? They'll challenge and question God in times of distress, but they don't give him thanks. And so it is an empty cry. It's an empty cry to only cry out to God when you're in distress and you're demanding relief, but not to give him thanks and praise for all those other things. And so that's what we need to be cautious about. That's the good that we can learn from Elihu. But where Elihu is wrong is that he then applies that to Job and says Job is emptying his, is opening his mouth in empty talk and multiplying words without knowledge. But this is just showing us the arrogance of Elihu. He thinks that he speaks from true knowledge and Job doesn't. He thinks that he has a right understanding of God and Job doesn't. And that's where we need to be humble and recognize that even if we know the Bible, even if we know right theology, that right theology in itself, the very things that Elihu has said about how much farther God is above us, should have caused Elihu to be humbled and realize, I don't understand all that God is doing here. And even though Job is being sorely afflicted, I can't really say that he's speaking out of wickedness or out of unbelief or that he's only ever talked about God in his distress, because I don't know. And sometimes we need to be honest enough to give that as the answer, because it's often the truth. We can say, God says this in his word. I believe it's true because God never lies. I don't know exactly how that applies to this situation because I don't have all the information, but God does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is living and active. It is full of life and truth. It corrects us when we are astray. It comforts us when we are weak and downtrodden. It helps us to see our need for Christ. Thank you for that we have a sympathetic and faithful high priest who has entered into our sufferings and into temptation and has understood what it is to be human, so that we have an advocate, we have a sympathetic Savior before the throne of God, and we thank you for him. Continue to grow us in your word day by day, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. That's Job 35. Tomorrow we're going to go right on to Job 36. So I hope you can join me for that. And I do hope, as always, that you have a blessed day in the Lord.